This episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hears from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Welcome to Brainstuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brainstuff, Lauren Vogelbaum here. It's called The Rise of the Nuns, the rapid increase in the number of Americans who claim to have no religious beliefs that has taken place in the last decade or so. When Pew's Religious Landscape Study came out in 2015, it showed that the percentage of atheists in America had doubled from 1.6 in 2007 to 3.1 in 2014. Meanwhile, the percentage of agnostics had just about doubled from 2.4 to 4.0. But these terms, agnostic and atheist, are often confused. Let's unpack them. People choose to identify as religiously agnostic for a variety of personal reasons, philosophical, psychological, theological, or even political. But it's not that agnostics are spiritual fence sitters, unwilling to state whether they believe in God or don't. A true agnosticism, it turns out, has nothing to do with belief at all. The term agnosticism was first coined by English biologist Thomas Henry Huxley, who lived in the mid to late 1800s. He was a fierce defender of Charles Darwin against religious critics who accused him of denying God's role in creation. As a scientist, Huxley didn't concern himself with beliefs. He sought after facts, and the fact of any proposition, for example, that God created the vast diversity of nature or that it evolved from natural selection, could only be proven by the evidence. Huxley stated that agnosticism itself wasn't a creed or a set of beliefs, but a principle, namely, quote, that it is wrong for a man to say he is certain of the objective truth of a proposition unless he can produce evidence which logically justifies that certainty. The word itself was a combination of the prefix a, meaning against or opposite, and gnosticism, which comes from a Greek word meaning knowledge. Gnosticism was a religious movement that flourished in the 1st and 2nd centuries CE and held that, among other things, the spirit world was good and the material world was evil. And although the principle of agnosticism doesn't exclusively apply to the question of God's existence, you can be agnostic about any proposition, it's been wrapped up in religion since the beginning. Huxley wrote a friend in 1860, "I neither affirm nor deny the immortality of man. I see no reason for believing it, but on the other hand, I have no means of disproving it. Give me such evidence as would justify me in believing anything else, and I will believe that. So that's agnosticism, but what about atheism? Atheism, according to its classical definition, is the lack of belief in God. Whether that God is the biblical Judeo-Christian God or some other higher power is a separate issue. The opposite of atheism is theism, the belief that God exists. Atheism and theism are thus both metaphysical claims because they assert an answer to a question about the nature of reality. Agnosticism, on the other hand, doesn't take a position on whether God exists. Instead, it takes a position on whether or not we can know if God exists. This is thus a physical or epistemological question, epistemology being the study of knowledge. Agnosticism claims that we cannot know if God does or does not exist because there's no compelling evidence that either proposition is true, at least not yet. You might think that agnosticism is nothing more than a handy way to dodge the question of whether you believe in God. Instead of saying yes or no, the agnostic chooses a third position, neither. But this is where things can get hairy. We spoke with Paul Draper, a professor at Purdue University who specializes in the philosophy of religion. He's witnessed his fair share of arguments between atheists and agnostics. He said, "People get so angry about this. The atheists will say, 'You call yourself an agnostic, but you're really an atheist.'" And you can see the atheist's point. At face value, it seems there's a razor-thin line between saying, "I don't see any evidence that God exists," and "I don't believe that God exists." But the difference is that you can be an agnostic and an atheist, just as you can be an agnostic and a believing Christian or Buddhist or Muslim. That's because agnosticism, at its core, is separate and unrelated to questions of faith. Let's explain. Agnostics are nearly always lumped together with atheists as a type of non-believer. The Pew Research Center defined religious nuns as being either atheists, agnostics, or not affiliated with any particular religion. But agnosticism isn't itself a belief system. One could believe on faith that God exists, but still ascribe to the agnostic position that God's existence cannot be proven by physical evidence or rational arguments. Such a person would be an agnostic theist. There's even a school of theology called apophatic theology that claims that God is inherently unknowable. Thomas Aquinas, the 13th century philosopher and theologian, wrote, "Now we cannot know what God is, but only what God is not. We must therefore consider the ways in which God does not exist, rather than the ways in which God does." According to Pew, 72% of religious nuns, the group that does include atheists and agnostics, do believe in a higher power. However, while it's technically true that you can be both an agnostic and a faithful believer, it's perhaps more common for agnostics to doubt the existence of God as such. Bertrand Russell, the British philosopher and mathematician, wrote a treatise on agnosticism in which he explained why the agnostic and atheist positions often overlap. He said, "The agnostic suspends judgment, saying that there are not sufficient grounds either for affirmation or for denial. At the same time, an agnostic may hold that the existence of God, though not impossible, is very improbable. He may even hold it so improbable that it's not worth considering in practice. In that case, he is not far removed from atheism. His attitude may be that which a careful philosopher would have towards the gods of ancient Greece. If I were asked to prove that Zeus and Poseidon and Hera and the rest of the Olympians do not exist, I should be at a loss to find conclusive arguments." An agnostic may think the Christian God as improbable as the Olympians. In that case, he is, for practical purposes, at one with the atheists. As we said at the beginning, the reasons for identifying as agnostic are myriad and different for every person. Draper, who has participated in high-profile debates with Christian philosophers, calls himself a local atheist and global agnostic. He explained, "I'm an atheist about the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-good God. I'm agnostic about God in a broader sense. Is there some being that qualifies for the title God? There could be such a thing." Today's episode was written by Dave Ruse and produced by Tyler Klang. Brainstuff is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more on this and lots of other philosophical topics, visit our home planet, howstuffworks.com. And for more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Happy Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.